Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by FIVO. I am your host, Tracy Sandler. We are audio only today, which is too bad for you guys, because my amazing guest, Matt Sims of the Sims Complete podcast, is wearing the best beanie ever. Matt, would you like to tell the people what kind of beanie you're wearing?
Yes, I am wearing a Michigan Rose Bowl hat. Can only be purchased at the Rose Bowl. And I only wore this damn hat for you, Tracy. So I'm really disappointed that, you know, it's audio only after that. I made this calculated fashion decision today because of you. And we're only audio. So now the fans at home, you just have to imagine in your head me wearing this ugly Michigan blue hat with the pom-pom on top.
And I will be honest, we are only audio because in the off season, I'm doing this like facial treatment thing, and I did my third of four yesterday, and I can't wear makeup today. And honestly, I'm a little red. I don't want to scare the people. Matt has to be scared on his own because he can at least see me. But that is
you look great. You look great.
Thank you.
Yeah. You look great. You look refreshed. You're ready to go. Ready for the new season.
I am ready for the new season. I've been through the combine, from Super Bowl to combine. It felt like a 4 second break there. Yeah. I got a little mini spa vacay before free agency started, and here we are in the frenzy. And actually, since I just brought that up, Matt, at a certain point, are we going to end up with like 2 days between the Super Bowl and the combine?
It certainly feels that way. I mean, I just before we even started, you know, recording this, I really had that moment where, I reflected on, I feel like the past few events, right, for the 49ers was like losing the Super Bowl. Then I see, you know, Lynch and Shanahan doing an interview, what seemed like, you know, the next day or 2 days later, talking about the combine. And just the whirlwind of emotions for them as individuals, for the team, and to then really kind of like recalibrate and refocus on how to go forward, you know. And I feel like that's something that is much easier said than done. But you know, we have seen too, though, that the greater coaches in the NFL have done that extremely well, and Kyle is one of them.
The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season, with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices, and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So let's kind of talk a little free agency and look ahead to the draft. I think a concern of mine for the 49ers going into the Super Bowl was that their defense really had not played well in the playoffs. And I felt that was going to be problematic. They played pretty well in the Super Bowl. I would say they played well enough for sure. There were a couple plays there at the end, but again, they're playing, you know, the best quarterback on the planet to do what he does. And so, you know, he takes advantage of mistakes, but it's clear for what's happened after the Super Bowl that generally they felt their defense was not at the level they wanted it to be really throughout the season. And fire Steve Wilks, which I've talked a lot about in this podcast and on everything, I thought was going to happen whether they won the Super Bowl or not. It just wasn't working. And it was clear it wasn't working. But they make a lot of changes along their defensive line. They let Eric Armstead go after he doesn't want to take a pay cut, which I fully understand why he didn't. I fully understand why they asked. He's not a player you can just replace so easily. But I think on the aggregate, the defensive line got better with the number of the signings they've made. Special teams has been a big priority here in free agency. So when you look at that, does that tell you that Kyle Shanahan does he have the ability to look at his roster, look at the team he had and say, yeah, we made it to the Super Bowl, but there were some issues there and the window is closing, whether they want to publicly admit that or not. And we got to do something about it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a new like political statement here recently too, with like the window closing and all that. I think we're in the era now of the NFL where the window can open and close within a year. You know, I think the Rams were a good example of that. I think the 49ers are going to be another great example of that. I think a lot of people thought that the window was closing on the Kansas City Chiefs, and yet here they are going for a three-peat. So I think with modern day free agency, the expansion too of obviously just the cap space going forward, that will allow teams to obviously make the offseason like it has been this year, very, very aggressive, right? A lot of moving parts, but it will, I think, allow teams to kind of start from scratch and then really be able to rebuild their rosters in the proper way. And I always have tremendous faith in fantastic coaches because great coaches can get the most out of whatever they're given, whether or not it's the best talent in the world. You know, in the beginning of the year, we had these discussions. We thought the 49ers defensive line looked great. And then as the year went on, we felt like they were kind of falling behind, you know, the standard that they had set up out there. Nonetheless, they still found ways to combat that and to make sure that it wasn't a glaring weakness to their football team and got to the Super Bowl. But you're right, though. This offseason, I think, really makes you wonder that their main focus was making sure that they're at least too deep rotationally, right? Allowing to get more skill, to get guys like Bosa off the field, to get quality rest, so that he can be the impact player that they need him to be and really crucial down and distance. Because we saw that too, right, in the Super Bowl. Early in that game, Bosa was maybe an inch or two away from being an MVP caliber-like performance by just how disruptive he was. Mm-hmm. And I think because he was out in the field for such a long period of time and didn't have the depth at that position, you know, we didn't really quite see that in the third, late in the third and fourth quarter when they needed it most.
And now they finally have somebody, I say finally, because it hasn't been that many years, but it has been several seasons since Dee Ford came in and was at a super high level. But I say finally, also it was before COVID, so it feels like a million years ago, but they do, I'll stick with finally, have somebody on the other side of Bosa that, you know, Leonard Floyd is not Nick Bosa, but Leonard Floyd is very good and can set the edge and be somebody on the opposite end that they can really count on. And that was a big thing for them and something they were missing. I was taking their names and putting them together because I was going to talk a little bit about Brandon Staley as we're talking about this somewhat retooled 49ers defense. Of course, talking about it in March, we'll see how retooled it is in September. But the 49ers, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, fire Steve Wilks. They promote Nick Sorensen to defensive coordinator. And then they hire Brandon Staley as an assistant head coach. I mentioned this the other day on the pod, in case some of you didn't listen, which rude, but in case you did not listen, Anthony Lynn was the former assistant head coach for the 49ers. And so there's a Chargers 49ers assistant head coach thing going on there. But they bring Brandon Staley in. His role is not entirely defined, at least not publicly. One would assume, of course, it would be on defense. But a few of the guys they brought in, including Floyd, who had a really nice thing to say about Brandon Staley the other day, they have a history with Brandon Staley. And that feels like that's certainly not a coincidence.
No, I don't think it is a coincidence at all. And I think they are getting back to, you know, the Sala, D'Amico, Ryans type of philosophy defensively. You know, you could see there in the Super Bowl, especially, you know, not to kind of recap that again for the 49ers fans, but just, you know, the loss of identity, I think, and the style in which they were calling their defense at times, I think is really what burned them. You know, it was either too soft or is either too aggressive. And there really was no middle ground. And I think Kyle and that defense, you know, going forward, they want to kind of have that middle ground, right? They do want to have that Legion of Boom type of philosophy where, you know, they're bending, but they're not breaking. And they're really making the teams earn every single bit that they're getting. And, you know, getting guys like Collins, getting guys like Gross Matos, getting guys like Elliott on the defensive line. Yeah. You know, the one thing to keep in mind is that these are just really big, strong people again, you know, for this team. And then add a athletic guy like Leonard Floyd to the mix, you know, with Bosa opposite end. Now we are kind of getting back to, I think, the original identity of this team of being able to rush four or five and play great coverage on the back end and confuse quarterbacks with different looks that are simple for you to execute at a very high level.
And in the secondary, we've seen them bring in a couple of defensive back shakes. Lucas is going to be more of a special teams guy, in my humble opinion. And also, I feel like if you look at the tape, that's also true. But right. He's going to be more of a special teams guy. They bring in Isaac Yiodom. And I'm not 100% I'm saying that right, but I think I might be. They bring him in. He becomes an interesting person because he really improved throughout last season. He certainly has special teams ability, but they have a bit of a CB3 issue. They had it all season long. They had they stopped gaps here and there and people did okay. And then they didn't. And, you know, in the Super Bowl, they have Logan Ryan in there basically at the nickel position. And that's no disrespect to Logan Ryan, but they literally signed him off a Disney cruise like 3 months before the Super Bowl.
So that's not what his specialty is.
And it's not what his specialty is. But he came in and he did it. He did a nice job and all that.
Absolutely.
But that's not going to be the long-term plan, of course. So as we look towards the draft, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in another corner through free agency. Don't think it's going to be a huge name, despite what 49ers fans want it to be. But I think as we look towards the draft, that becomes a priority. I think they will end up drafting a couple corners. I have on record multiple times, I'm trying to manifest it, that one of those corners is Mikey Sanrastil at the University of Michigan. I think they're going to trade up to get him in the second round. I actually, Matt, I saw a mock draft the other day that had the Chargers trading up to get him in the second round. And then I was like, this is like an existential crisis. I want Mikey there for predictable picks, but then
I also
need to be successful. So this is like a whole existential crisis for me.
Right.
But the draft, I think that's going to be a huge priority in the draft. And they did well with drafting D'Amador Lenore. And
Basically
they have Charvarius Ward. And the nice thing with Lenore is they could find an outside guy. They could find a nickel because he can do both. But I think it would be best for him and the team if for the majority of his career, he's in one spot. You know, last year he came in and out and he was able to go inside and outside, which is incredible. I think it's best for everybody if he can stay in one spot. So I think that becomes something they really look at in the draft. And they've always been about up front, and that's the most important thing. But they do got to get that secondary short up.
They absolutely do. And I think, you know, you can kind of see even with the signing of Devondre Campbell, right? Yeah. Who's someone that Kyle's very familiar with that was drafted in Atlanta when he was there with Dan Quinn in the Atlanta Falcons. Devondre Campbell was an immediate starter from day one as a rookie. Yeah. And he, I think, also fits the profile of a veteran, athletic, can do a little of everything, adds depth to the linebacker room, obviously, with the injury to Greenlaw. And you can, I would say it would be very wise, right, to put money on for, at least for me, the 49ers, three positions of interest, right? Offensive line, we could say that about any NFL team, right, in the draft. You can never improve your offensive line enough. Right. Defensive line, we know that is a very high priority for just how this team views that position. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it gets debatable to me, right, with do you go with a very talented physical receiver early, right, for the San Francisco 49ers, or do you go with the super talented defensive back starting early here? You know, I really kind of go back to that receiver defensive back situation in the draft for them because, you know, I think the receiver room, There's going to be some question marks, I think, going forward, at least two for the long term, as far as what that room looks like. And then also too, for the secondary, just bolstering that up with young talent and depth. And especially when you play a lot of these high flying offenses late in the year, you know, they learn this lesson the hard way, unfortunately, just like the quarterback lesson the year before. You just can't have enough talented guys on that depth chart in those two key positions, especially when it's January.
So it's interesting at 31, if you're going, I'm glad I'm not in charge. We just get to talk about it and then someone else gets to make the decisions. But at 31, are you going offensive line? Are you going defensive back? Are you going to receiver?
Yeah, it all depends, I think, on just who is there at 31, you know, and that's where it gets questionable, right? And of course, Kyle views the receiver position a little bit differently because he does value, obviously, blocking and physicality and all that kind of stuff, too. But if for whatever reason, someone like a Brian Thomas or one of those guys are still there on the board, I think it'd be very difficult to pass over something like that, right? To an opportunity like that, to having an explosive game changer. Now, Kyle's offense is a little bit more difficult for receivers to learn and adjust to because they got to play a little bit more selfish type of football, you know, that way. And I'll be curious, but I think the easy one to bet on would be corner, you know, at that position right there. Unless for whatever reason there was, you know, just someone that was unbelievable at the top of the list at the receiver, tackle, and even defensive end position at that point.
Mikey Samuels, still, I'm gonna say it again. It worked really well with Jake Moody last year. I mean, it worked amazingly well with Jake Moody. I was every radio show I was on, everything, podcast, Twitter, constantly saying Jake Moody. Pick 99. Apparently my manifesting powers are really good. At this point, I'm really just concerned about predictable picks, Matt. Like, that show is really important to me and to my brand. And I need guys there that are good at it. And I feel like Mikey Samuels still would be great, okay?
You're really highlighting your team aspect here that I like, you know? Yeah,
I'm interested in one thing and one thing only. I don't play for the 49ers. I don't work for the 49ers.
That's right.
And predictable picks is really important, okay?
That's damn right, girl. Preach.
And also, I mean, I want to make a huge deal of this, but Mikey Samuels still started his career as a receiver. Two-way player.
Ooh, all right. I like that. Yeah, he can add something, a little versatility. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, he's not a large guy, so he doesn't have that. But he is, for a guy his size, very physical.
Right.
He's going to keep throwing. We're just going to manifest it. If they pick him at 31, I feel like you guys should be lining out the door for me to manifest stuff for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, he's a fantastic football player. So, you know, they definitely would not be going broke by taking that profit. That's for sure.
No, they definitely would not. It's going to be an interesting draft. It's going to be kind of fun to see how it works. I mean, they're in a good position. And I try to remind fans of this, too. They lost the Super Bowl by 3 points in overtime. It's not a team that's like desperate to rebuild. They're retooling. They can get better. But they have flexibility because when it comes to that pick or later picks, it's how can we get better? How can we get depth? How can we shore a few things up? But it's not like we need to start from scratch here or we're in the middle of the road. And, you know, they still have tremendous talent.
Your quarterback's going into his third year and he's already been to an NFC Championship game and a Super Bowl. So I think, you know, they're doing okay in a lot of the key positions. I think they really have a clear understanding of what their identity is and what makes them successful. Mm-hmm. And now it really is just kind of like shoring up a little bit about just being more well-rounded of a football team and being able to win in a multitude of ways. And I think that's what we've seen a lot of the great teams do recently. That's what the Kansas City Chiefs have done recently, right? Is that, you know, they have their key superstars, but then they really kind of build the team around, or accumulate as much talent as they possibly can. And then they just find ways to win on just what is working for them that year. You know, to think that the Kansas City Chiefs would be a, you know, defensive powerhouse in the playoffs. You know, if we said that last year at this time, we'd have been like, wow, there's no way, you know? So you never know. The biggest thing is just get players that are like-minded with good coaching staffs. And, you know, good thing is for the 49ers, they have a great cornerstone already and they can build more properly now this offseason based off of that.
You said something interesting about receiver, which of course is true. You have to be a little bit more selfless in this particular offense and be able to get that. So I wonder what that is like, what the interviews are like at the combine, at the, you know, the one-on-one visits. because I imagine that becomes a huge part of whether or not they can take a guy. It's not, certainly you want your best available player and tremendous talent, but you also have to have somebody who buys into this and is okay with it, because if it doesn't work, it does become a locker room problem. And this team would not do well with a locker room problem.
No. And it's interesting too, because even as I say that, I think about it too, from Kyle's perspective, when we were in Atlanta and we were definitely a little bit more of a condensed formation offense, we ran the ball a little bit more aggressively on first and second down. And now with Brock Purdy as the quarterback, the focus has been a little bit more spread out, a little bit more open, you know, more open, empty formations for him, right? Because of his size, his ability to make quick decisions. And I think they're kind of, they're not getting away from what made Kyle great, but they're definitely adapting. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if Kyle's theory and how he looks at the position will change a little bit with that too. You know, you don't really have to be a phenomenal blocker like you once were, right? Because of how much he would run the ball, right? In those classic old school football sets. But, you know, this is where a guy like, I almost think like Roman Wilson, you know, your boy with Michigan, like he kind of fits the mold. Like he kind of, but like his attitude, the way that he plays, you know, he's been coached by an NFL coach. He's played in an NFL like type of system in college. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he kind of fits the mold of what Kyle really values at a very high level at that receiver position. You know, at the same time, Kyle, when he has been most successful though, offensively, is when he's had guys like Julio Jones, you know, and Pierre Garçon running routes for him in their prime. So that's where I feel like, even if they might not hit the mark as a great blocker, you know, I would definitely not be opposed to adding someone that was, you know, at the cream of the crop at the position, athletically and talented wise, right? To really, again, force defenses. What are you going to do? You're going to stop Christian McCaffrey? You know, you're going to stop our other receivers? You're going to stop our run game, our creativity? You know, you're going to leave whoever it is, Malik Nabers or any of these other guys one-on-one, you know, on the outside? That's great. That's a good opportunity for us. Now, Malik probably won't be there at 31, but there is a good crew there. And, you know, maybe that's a guy like Roma Dunze, you know, who's big, strong, physical, good route runner, catches 50-50 footballs extremely well. And that's something too, that Brock throws extremely well too. So yeah, receiver position, I just feel like wouldn't be shocked if that's the direction that they went into for the first round, or at least for their first two picks.
And they really haven't picked anyone like that before. I mean, they really, they took a chance on Danny Gray because he's fast, and they took a chance there to see what he could do. It really hasn't panned out thus far. I don't feel.
And let's face it, Debo was a little bit of a reach. Brandon Ayuk was a little bit of a reach. And you know what? They don't really use them as traditional receivers. Now Brandon's different, but with Debo, he has not been a traditional receiver in that sense for his offense. So that's where, to me, you know, if I was in that room with him, I'd be like, hey, let's go get just like your old school one-on-one guy that can win for you every single time that you put him out there and really stress defenses tremendously with all the other stuff that we do, knowing that we got, you know, an alpha dog on the outside as like our premier X or Z receiver.
Romeo Dunze would be a great one. I mean, he's a tremendous talent.
And he's a good blocker. He's big. He's strong. You know, I think that his style of play would fit very well into what Kyle is doing. Solid route runner, can play outside, inside, does really well with motion off the ball, high football IQ. So like, absolutely, I feel like that would be a really, you know, awesome find for them if he was still around at 31.
And they're lucky that this is such a deep receiver and corner draft. This is a great draft for San Francisco. It's actually a decent offensive line draft too. So
it is. And even with the Houston Texans, you know, finding Tank Dell, which was like in, what was it, the third or the fourth round or something like that, maybe even later, but I can't remember off the top of my head either, but just like, he's someone that comes to mind of just like super talented football player that can do a little of everything, extremely explosive. And he really was a game changer as a rookie for that offense. So it's absolutely possible for Kyle and them to find that diamond in the rough, like a Tank Dell again this year.
He was in the third round. He was the overall pick. I just looked it up.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely a possibility. You mentioned the quarterback, and they're obviously very set with their QB1, but they have a new QB2. Wait till you see the segue that I'm about to do between him and the former QB2, and then the last thing I really wanted to talk about. So I'm really, really proud of myself right now. Yeah. So let's start with the QB2. They signed Josh Dobbs. to a one-year deal. I think that's a good signing. You're losing Sam Darnold. I think he's a very solid backup quarterback. So I just would love your thoughts as a quarterback. I know the 49ers are hoping he's not going to play all that much, which is no disrespect to him and all the respect to Brock Purdy. But just would love to know your thoughts as a quarterback on Josh Dobbs and that signing.
Yeah, I mean, I like Josh Dobbs signing. I think it's a solid signing. You know, I don't necessarily think that it is an upgrade from Sam Darnold. Right. But I think in just the current state of affairs with the free agency market for quarterbacks, they did a good job of filling that void. And, you know, this is another thing, too, where just this is, again, a position that I wouldn't be surprised if they find another guy to add to that quarterback room late in the draft, right? In that fifth or sixth round, again, like a Brock Purdy type, mm-hmm. a guy that's played a lot of football, great, tremendous experience, and hopefully can groom him into the future backup behind Brock. So, you know, Dobbs will be able to play, I think, a little bit of the style that Brock plays. He does also bring that same Brock style too, where he can innovate and create with his feet and legs and stuff like that and throw on the run well. You know, and the good thing is for Josh too, is that at least he'll be in an environment where he kind of knows exactly where he stands and right. can really focus on, you know, making those improvements to his own individual game, and then understanding too, just like his role for the football team and being there for Brock and ultimately being ready to play if he has to.
This might be a really dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because you know that they say there are no dumb questions, just dumb people that ask them. But I'm going to ask it anyway. Yeah. How, for a quarterback, first time, like when you say that he's in a position, he knows exactly where he stands. How yeah. important is that? You know, on the one hand, if you come in, you have a chance to be the starter, so you're competing. But on the other hand, if you kind of have a chance to be the starter, but not really, is it better to just know I'm the backup? Like, what does that do mentally? I don't know if that question made sense, but I think you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it totally changes, I think, just your approach to it. I mean, if you're coming into a situation where there's a competition, you know, it definitely is, you know, there's a different aspect of it too. You know, there is that comparison of like, you know, hey, I'm going out there and I got to perform better than this other guy every single day, you uh-huh. know, to earn my spot, to earn my keep. And for Dobbs, you know, he knows that he's not a franchise quarterback at this point mm-hmm. in his career, you know, so he just knows that the best caddy that he can be allows mm-hmm. him to stay in the game the longest and allows him the opportunity to continue to play the game that he loves. And to prove himself again to a new coaching staff that is well respected throughout the NFL, I think is another big thing for him too, right? In his longevity of his career. So, you know, he understands the role. He understands what the team has done the past few years with this quarterback and Brock Purdy. And I think that really, you know, allows him to really be comfortable with what is being asked of him right from the start. Whereas in Arizona, I'm trying to prove to them that I could be the guy of the future. Mm-hmm. With Minnesota, you know, everyone was like, oh, maybe I can replace Kirk Cousins now. You know, it's like, no, we don't want you to replace anyone. We want you to be Josh Dobbs. We want you to operate what we're doing. And worst case scenario, we just want you to keep us on pace to going to a Super Bowl again, because that's where we're going.
And that's really what happened with Sam Darnold last year. And yeah. well in that position, and they respected him. And he goes to Minnesota. I look back at last year and there was this, you know, this battle for QB2. There were people who thought it was a battle for it was always Brock. There was never a question, no matter what everybody wanted to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it was just
never.
The injury and all that, right?
The injury.
Yeah.
So but we knew he was going to be back and it was going to be fine, but it was that battle for QB2. And, you know, right. looking back on it, I don't even think it was a battle. I think that was always Sam Darnold's job. I think there was very little chance of Trey Lance being able to take that job. I think they
yeah.
had, look,
oh,
they,
yeah.
they knew. The mistake made. And yep. that was that. And so I just
honestly, they knew it the year before too. They just didn't want to admit it. And they were just gonna do their best to make it work as much as possible. So
yep, 100%.
You know, the good thing is that they finally cut the cord. They mm-hmm. they made that decision. They admitted their mistakes and sent them off. You know, and Josh will be looking at that Sam Darnold example as a great thing too. Hey, I come here, be a good backup. If I play and play well, you know, maybe another team next year when they're in that quarterback purgatory will sign me to a, you know, 1 or 2 year deal for $10 million, you know, so life isn't too bad.
Not too bad at all. And Sam Darnold goes to Minnesota for that 1 year deal, $10 million, not bad at all. Yeah. Obviously, Kirk Cousins went to Atlanta. Kirk Cousins should teach a class on how to keep getting paid massive amounts of money without winning playoff.
Well, you know what? It also just goes to show you, though, too, that, you know, all those fans out there, you know, you can view Kirk Cousins any way that you want. But, you know, real football coaches and GMs know when they watch the film and watch what he does and how he has improved as a player, but also improves his teammates around him. How, you know, dude's a really good football player and he's underrated. And, you know, I'm kind of tired of that narrative of him like, oh, the one playoff and all that stuff too. You know, half those teams that he played for and took to the playoffs wouldn't even be in the damn playoffs if he wasn't the quarterback. You know, none of them were Super Bowl favorites. You know, he wasn't one of those guys that's like choked or anything like that. He's always elevated every team that he's been a part of.
Absolutely. And that's what shows. And that is why he keeps going. And it's also, you look around the league, there are not 32 elite quarterbacks. There are not. No. 10 elite quarterbacks, and he is one of the best in the league. And it's interesting because quarterback wins and losses, there's all this discussion, should that be a stat or not a stat? It's not just the quarterback probably gets too much credit and too much blame all the way around for everything.
Absolutely.
And perhaps Kirk Cousins is a very good example of that. So
now let's talk about that next quarterback.
Quarterback in Minnesota, in my humble opinion, I'm about to be quite the fan of this team, quite the Vikings fan. All signs point to J.J. McCarthy going to Minneapolis to take over. Sorry, Sam Darnold, but going to take over to be their franchise guy. I think when you talk about, this is like a perfect segue. We really nailed this here. When you talk about fans versus, you know, what fans see and what football people see, and this no disrespect to fans and fans who watch film and tape and all of the things, but what football people see, I think, is a guy who didn't have to throw the football that much because of the offense he was in, because of the style they played. But he always made the big play. He always made the throw. I mean, he really did. It was pretty incredible. Minus a few little interceptions that I can remember here and there. He always made the throw. He always made it in big games. And I think you see a guy who's kind of unfallible, who, again, kind of like you were saying with Roman Wilson, was coached by an NFL coach. I mean, if you were going to be coached by an NFL coach as a quarterback in college, there's not going to be many better than Jim Harbaugh. And I think NFL and football people see somebody who has tremendous potential. And even though fans are like, I don't see it, and he only threw the ball 10 times in the natty and whatever, that was my fan voice. I think this kid, as we know, I think he's tremendous, and I think he will be their quarterback of the future. And I think he'll be very successful, but I want to know what you think, because obviously my feelings about him.
No, and it's interesting because I myself have been one of those people that at first was, very skeptical, right? Mm-hmm. I knew that he was coming out. I knew that he had to come out with Harbaugh leaving, right? It would be very unwise of him to stay, right, in that new situation in Michigan and whatever is coming down the road for them too, you know, with all that other stuff. But, for the player himself, he, like you said, he's been coached by a former NFL quarterback. He's been coached by a former NFL head coach. Mm-hmm. The head coach knows how to build teams. He knows how to make teams, at least buy in and focus on what it is that makes them unique and really tap into that and to be a collective unit, right? Which is easier said than done. And this is a guy that has revitalized so many careers. I mean, this is a guy that put Andrew Luck on the map. This is a guy that revitalized Alex Smith's career. This is a guy that, created, the Kaepernick situation with Greg Roman and just the ability to change the way that we view the position, you know, in so many different ways. So this is a guy that really does a great job, I think, of getting the most out of football players. And when he gives, NFL staffs that, JJ's the man, like JJ does this, that, people trust it because we've seen it long enough now. For JJ, he is a talented football player. He's athletic. He's played in a system that was extremely difficult for quarterbacks to play in because, like you're saying, it wasn't like they, threw it 80 times and said, hey, you only got to hit half of them for us to win the game. Mm-hmm. It was like, we're only going to throw it a few times and you got to make the right decision every single time or we're going to lose the game. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a certain thing that we have to really recognize and appreciate with that kind of style of play. He knows and understands situational football. He's played in an NFL-like mindset and skill set. He understands how crucial, right, it is to make the right throw at the appropriate time, when not to. And these are things that he's obviously learned the hard way, right, through being there with Harbaugh and with Michigan. And also, too, I mean, talk about a kid that's played with more pressure on his back, really, than anyone in college football in the past 2 years, because we expected Michigan to be in that national championship discussion. Mm-hmm. And for him to come through and to battle that, right, both off the field and on the field, you know, that's before we even get to the talent. And the talent is, he's got a good size. He's athletic. He moves really well. He can run for yards. He can throw on the run extremely well. He's got a super strong arm. He's got a high football IQ. And it seems like a lot of people like him, you know? So, you know, the good thing is that these are all qualities that, you know, really matter at the quarterback position. And, I think there's going to be a lot of coaches that really are excited to coach this young man. My one thing would be, just because of his lack of experience as a dropping back and throwing it at Michigan, I would be a little, you know, I would hesitate just a little in making him the day one starter if he was drafted early by a team like the Vikings. I think this is why you do pay a guy like a Sam Darnold to come in, be the guy. And if you feel like your quarterback has done a great job of improving each and every week, and he's starting to understand the NFL game and kind of what it takes to be great, okay, then you can make that move in week 6, week 7, week 8, and make him the starter full time. And if not, you just let him sit there and just say, hey, you're the backup, keep learning, keep absorbing information, and next year you're the guy, you know? So I would not be shocked that the Vikings kind of lean more into, if they were to draft JJ, lean into almost a Jordan Love type of trajectory for his success, and allowing him to watch and learn and absorb the game as much as possible before they threw him into the fire.
I agree with literally everything you just said. And one of the reasons I like the Vikings for him is because I think that is the best situation for him. I don't think he should have to be a day one starter. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I think for long-term success of JJ McCarthy and the organization that he ends up playing for, that is the best situation for him. So you're right. That is why you pay Sam Darnold, because, like, you know what you got in Sam Darnold. You know he can win you some games. You can see how it goes. He's well respected in San Francisco, but you give JJ McCarthy the opportunity to learn from him. And you learn from, and JJ McCarthy gets the opportunity, if they draft him, to learn from him in a number of ways. I mean, Sam's been through it. Like, Sam is definitely, this was a very high draft pick that was expected to be the franchise quarterback. He was in bad situations and he's bounced around and he's been through it, you know, mentally and physically, the whole thing. And I think there's a lot to learn from there. And I think that absolutely really good for him. The throw with JJ that always gets me is, I believe it was in the Rose Bowl, the one where they throw it back to JJ. He catches it falling back. And then,
oh man,
Roman Wells. I mean, that was unbelievable. Like
that play alone really did save, I think, their national championship. Because if he doesn't catch that football, it's a fumble. I want to say maybe it was Dallas Turner or someone was like right there hitting JJ as he threw that football. But if he doesn't catch that football, that's a scoop and score for Alabama. And Alabama probably ultimately wins that football game because of that play. And this is what's kind of interesting. When you go back and watch him a little bit, you know, you do kind of have a greater respect for that player, because there aren't a lot of like, wow, that was a terrible decision. You know, there's a lot of like, wow, good decision. That was the right decision for that play, for this moment in the football game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to really start to understand, too, because the game manager was the theme of this year. You know, oh, he's just a game manager. All right. Well, you know, you need to be able to manage the game first to be successful at the position. You know, Patrick Mahomes is a fantastic game manager. He just happens to have the talent of a game changer. And, you know, JJ, I think will have the potential to maybe do both in his career. Again, obviously, if he is brought up in an environment that allows him to learn that way.
I could not agree more. And so obviously, within the next 2 years, JJ McCarthy will be the MVP of the league in the Super Bowl. I feel like we're saying here.
That is a bold statement, but
okay, you know, three years.
You know, yeah, that's right. 3 years, that's right. But you know, hey, the crazier things have happened in the NFL. So, you know, he's a talented football player. If he got drafted by the Vikings, You know, I would be, you know, extremely elated for him, the young man, because I think Kevin O'Connell is a phenomenal football coach and what they're doing there and helping the quarterback position tremendously. So, you know, I would absolutely be overjoyed for him and his family to be in that type of environment with that coach.
Me too. That's where I think the best spot is for him. So we're now manifesting that too.
Yeah, that's right.
And on the two manifestations, I think I'm making that one more important. So Mikey Samuels is going to be great wherever he goes. And they'll maybe they'll draft a Michigan player. And if not, I got my predictable picks, guys, and it's fine. Yeah. So JJ to the Vikings. So there we go.
All right.
This was fun.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. JJ McCarthy to the Vikings. Well, you've probably heard it other places, but I'm sticking to it. A lot of purple about to happen in my wardrobe. Skull!
That's right.
I'm going to be bolting up and skulling all season long. That's going to be my thing.
That sounds terrible when you say it like that, but yeah.
I know. But
it can be interpreted many ways, you know?
That's true.
What'd you do this weekend? I bolted up and I skulled. You
know? That's true. Well, but that wouldn't be wrong because on a Sunday.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It just could be interpreted in many different ways. Be like, whoa, she had a weekend, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Except if anybody knows me or follows me on social media, they'll be like, we know exactly what she's... Jim Harbaugh,
that's right.
JJ McCarthy.
That's right.
Favorites. Matt, this was fun. As always, please tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, Sims Complete, a part of the Believe Network. Me and Big Phil talking football, talking quarterbacks. And yeah, you can find us, Sims Complete, where podcasts are available on our YouTube page as well. And you can follow me at Sims Complete on Instagram and Twitter. So thank you so much, Tracy, as always, for having me.
Absolutely. You guys can find me on Twitter at TracyFGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. If you like what you heard, make sure to give us a 5-star rating and a super positive review. We are brought to you by Bet Online. We are brought to you by FIVO. And I think those are all my closing announcements. So with that, I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye, y'all.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.